Open them to Proverbs chapter 3 and verse 5 and 6. That'll be the springboard into our message this morning. And by the way, what we want to talk about this morning is living in times like these. Have you ever seen or have you ever dreamed that you would see things going on in our society today like that is going on? Not only in America, but around the world. It is pathetic. People don't see a value in human life. If I understand the Bible correctly, God says that He created mankind. And every time a baby is born, that's a creation of God. It's a creation of God. It's a miracle. But people don't place value on human life like they once did. I was reading a little bit on the internet this past week about the killing capital of the America, I guess you could call it, Chicago, Illinois. I'm telling you, on Christmas Day, last Sunday, when we were celebrating the birth of Jesus, people up there were being killed. There were 11 of them killed on Sunday, and more than 50 of them were wounded. Now, that's terrible. That's terrible. The lack of value of life. Well, that's what's going on in the world today. But it even gets worse than that, in which we really don't have time to go into. But anyway, it really gets bad. So what we want to do is read the passage of Scripture and think about living in times like these. Now in Proverbs chapter 3, verses 5 and 6, it tells us this: "Trust in the Lord with all of your heart, and lean not to your own understanding. In all your ways acknowledge Him, and He will direct your paths." It's good to see the young people here today. I've got several here that I asked them if this is the Amen Corner. So we've got some young people on the Amen Corner. So I also was talking with Hannah just a minute ago. I said, "Honey, I'll pray for you if you'll pray for me." So I was praying for her. She did an excellent job, didn't she? Amen. That's my granddaughter. And we love them very dearly. And of course, her mom and her sister and her dad, too. We love them all. Amen. By the way, we've got two daughters, and they turned right around and gave us five granddaughters, you know. So we have no boys in the family. Monty and I are the only ones. But anyway, back to what we came here to do is to preach God's message. Try to start out with a good beginning and keep it short, okay? Living in times like these. You know, there is a song that we sing quite a bit, or used to. I don't know how often you sing the song in your church. In times like these, it sort of goes like this. In times like these, we need a Savior. In times like these, we need an anchor. In times like these, we need to make sure that we belong to the Lord. Amen. Don't want anybody to be caught without the Lord. But verse 2 says like this: "In times like these, we need the Bible. In times like these, oh, be not idle. Be very sure. Be very sure your anchor holds and grips the solid rock. That rock is Jesus. Yes, He's the one. That rock is Jesus, the only one. Be very sure. Be very sure your anchor holds and grips the solid rock." Amen. Amen. Now, the times that we live in today, I want to talk about those just a little bit. I'll start with 9/11. All of us know what it is. Those of us who were old enough experienced that or lived through the news of that is a terrible thing. The young people, they didn't experience that. They didn't hear, not all of them anyway, the youngest ones of them, they didn't hear about all that when it was streaming on television. But they've heard us talk about it. It's a terrible thing. I am telling you, people's lives were snuffed out just like that. But anyway, what happened was a terrorist who don't place value upon human life. They hijacked three of our planes and flew two of them into the Twin Towers up in New York. And in a little while, they came tumbling down, and about 3,000 people were slaughtered that day. There was a third plane. They believed that it was headed toward the Capitol, or not the Capitol, but the White House in D.C. Now, they had swung out and were planning on coming back down into the Washington area. But I understand that those people, the families of those people that were on board that plane found out what was going on, and that there was a third plane. And they were saying that it was headed toward Washington. Well, the people on board the plane had received those calls from the families, and they realized it was the plane that they were on that was hijacked. And so the men decided they were not going to go down without a fight. And so they did their best to keep that plane from going to Washington. And of course, you know the rest of the story. It crashed into a cornfield, I think it was, there in Pennsylvania. Am I correct about that? The place, Pennsylvania? Yeah. But it was a horrible, horrible thing. Now, as a result of that, we find that we went to war. It was not a declared war because there was not a nation, that, you see. It was people. They were terrorists. And the war really wasn't declared as it ought to have been and fought like it ought to have been. But anyway, it was went to war with them. The first phase of that was in the Iraq War. The second phase of it was into Afghanistan. And then we find that they were able to make some progress in that war. But the generals saw that there was a need for more men, more personnel, fighting men and women. And so they sent 15,000, I'm not really sure exactly, and they began to make some strides in winning that war. But then there was an election that took place, and a new man came on the job. And he didn't say eye to eye like the previous ones and previous administration. And sometime later on, he decided to pull all the men out of Afghanistan and the areas. And that left a vacuum. And where there's a vacuum, there is always something that's going to fill that vacuum. And who was it that filled the vacuum? We call it ISIS. And so everybody that doesn't believe like they believe, we are infidels. And they plan on killing everybody that doesn't believe and will convert to their way of thinking. That's where we are today. Well, there has been, thank the Lord, a new change in the administration. Amen? Amen. a new change. And so I'm thankful that God has given us another opportunity. I didn't know for sure that God would give us another opportunity, but He's given us another opportunity. You pray, and we all need to pray for our new administration. Pray for them. Pray for them. And pray for America. That America will be strong again, great again. And let's not forget who made it possible. Jesus made it possible. Amen. The Bible tells us in 2 Chronicles 7:14, He said, "If my people which are called by my name shall humble themselves and pray and seek my face and turn from their wicked ways, then will I hear from heaven," God says. I will forgive your sins and heal your lands." That is exactly what we need. Amen and amen. Yes. So you pray for it, for this administration, the leaders of it, and just pray that they will do their very best to do what God wants them to do. Amen. And then we're to keep on praying. Keep on praying. Well, ISIS and terrorism is a terrible, terrible thing. But that's not the only thing that we're dealing with today in times like these. What about the storms? We have storms. Man, the storms are super storms anymore. Have you ever seen such devastation as these storms produce? The loss of life. With such devastation, it looks like that there would be more people killed than what they are in this devastation. But thank God that they're not. And Lord, the Lord is just trying to wake us up, I think. But anyway, the Apostle Paul said this in 2 Timothy chapter 3 in verse 1 and following. He said, "Know this, that in the last days perilous times shall come." And folks, that's where we're living now, in perilous times. We need to be ready for our homegoing. I don't know when the Lord's coming back. Only God knows. The Bible teaches us that Jesus doesn't know Himself. He's waiting on the command of the Father to go and get His church. Amen? You and I who've been saved are members of His church. So, as we're waiting for those times, during the times that we're living in, what is the wise thing for you and me as Christians to do? What should we be doing? Well, there are a lot of things we need to be doing, but there are four things. I'm going to mention those just briefly. What you and I as the church, the local church and the church, the ecclesia, the called out church, what we need to be doing. First of all, we need not to panic during these days. One of the worst things that we can do in a given situation is to panic. You know, in the malls and at the ball games or wherever somebody wants to wreak havoc and kill people, they pull their guns out and start shooting. What does people usually do? Panic. They panic. We all need to make a plan on what our strategy is going to be when we happen to be in a situation like that. Somebody starts running. Others go in the same direction. Somebody's going to eventually stumble and fall, and others are going to be stumbling and falling on them, and so people sometimes are killed like that. Let's not panic. The Bible tells us some things that we need to know. We need to make our lifestyle a life of trusting the Lord every day and in every situation. We need to trust the Lord and be very vigilant and observant, on guard day by day. When we go to the malls, when we go shopping, wherever we go, we need to be very vigilant. I remember, hadn't been too awful long ago, I was going home, and on our way home from in the Greer area, we passed by one of the highway departments where you get your license and so forth. Well, they said, be vigilant and call the authorities if you see something that is unusual. Well, as I was passing there, there was a gentleman, young man, who was leaning up against one of the poles that holds the night lights up, and he had something in his hands. I really couldn't make out what it was. I didn't know if it was a weapon or not. So I called the sheriff's department. And they didn't really think there's too much about this, and so I left it with them, and I never did hear anything about that, so I just figured that everything was okay. But it could have been something very serious, you know? Be vigilant. Don't panic. Have a plan of what you're going to do in circumstances, you see. And let me encourage you this. Avoid large crowds. I don't hang around large crowds. So that's one of the things we need to do, is just don't panic. Be vigilant and trust the Lord that He'll help us during the difficult times that we're living in. But there's a second thing I remind you of that we need to remember. That is, we need to remember whose we are. Who are you? Who am I? And whose do we belong to? Who do we belong to? We belong to the Lord as Christians, don't we? We belong to the Lord. You see, now, God looks out for His own. The Bible, you read your Bible, you become a Bible student, and reading and studying the Word of God, you'll find that God loves His people and He watches over us. Now, it doesn't mean that He's not going to let anything bad happen to us. Now, you know, that's a little bit naive. You know, we're living in a sin-cursed world, a fallen world, and there are bad people out here, and things happen, don't they? So God doesn't keep us from all the, but He said He'd keep us through those things, through those times, didn't He? Amen. He'll keep us through those times. Now, the Bible tells us, in Psalms chapter 34 and verse 15, it says, the eyes of the Lord are upon the righteous. That's us. And His ear is always open unto our cries. Isn't that encouraging? To know that the Lord is looking upon us and His ear is always open to our cries. But in another place, we read where 1 Peter chapter 3 and verse 12 tells us this. In the latter part of verse 12, it says, the face of the Lord is against those that do evil. They may think they're getting away with some things now, but let me tell you, my friend, they have a payday coming. Amen. They have a payday coming. So what I pray for the ISIS and all these bad people is that God save them. They'll hear the good news of the gospel, and God will work in their heart, draw them and by His Spirit, convict them of their sinful deeds and all that they're doing, they'll get saved. If they really get saved, they're going to quit doing those things, you see. They're going to quit doing things like that. So we need to not panic when things happen. Trust the Lord. And we need to remember whose we are. We belong to the Lord. And live like it. And then thirdly, we must remember that God is in control. He's sovereign. God is all powerful, He's all knowing, and He's all present. You see? Trust the Lord. For He is in control. Don't try to take matters into your own hands. Trust the Lord and live for Him the best you can. And again, it doesn't mean bad things won't happen to you. They will. Trust Him. And the fourth thing is that we must remember to wait on God and trust Him while we're waiting. But let me ask you this. What else should we be doing while we are waiting on the Lord? Well, there are really four things. I'm just going to mention these and run. First of all, we need to be in the Bible. Read it daily. You say, I don't have time in the morning to read the Bible. Well, get up a little bit early to where you can have time to read the Bible. Be reading it every day. Spend time in it. Not only just read it, but study it. Obey it and share it. You remember Jesus left the disciples with this challenge, with this command. In Matthew chapter 28 and verses 19 and 20, he said this. He said, go ye into all the world teaching the gospel to everybody that you can. I don't want to misquote anything. In Matthew chapter 28, verses 19 and 20, it says, go ye therefore and teach all nations, baptizing them in the name of the Father and the Son and the Holy Spirit, teaching them to observe all things whatsoever I have commanded you. And lo, I am with you always, even until the end of the world. So that's one of the things that we need to be doing, sharing the good news of the gospel with other people. You see, people, in order to be saved, they must hear the gospel. They can't get saved just any time and, you know, especially without hearing the gospel. They can't do that. You have to hear the gospel in order for it to register in our minds, our hearts, our spirits, and then God can begin to work. He'll begin to draw us and bring conviction. I remember when I got saved, man, I tell you, I was under such deep conviction. And also, there was no peace, there was nothing in my life that I was really looking for. But when God got a hold of me that night in the little Baptist church, David Street Baptist Church in Greenville, South Carolina, I went forward and confessed myself as lost to the Lord and asked Him to forgive me and save me, and He did. And that night, I came to church a lost person. When I went away, I was a saved person. Amen? That's the way it is. God wants to save everybody, but not everybody wants to be saved. One day, they will wish they had been saved, though, you know? But we're to do our job, share the good news of the gospel. And one of the things about it, we need to be in the Bible, learning all that we can about the times and all that we're living in, and how to live in them. And then secondly, we're to be in prayer. One of the things that we need to do is learn to talk to the Lord for ourselves and for our friends and neighbors. I am glad that you're concerned about people and you ask prayer for people. When you pray, God hears those prayers and He responds, and He's able to work in people's lives and create some wonderful things. The Bible tells us this in James chapter 6, chapter 5 and verse 16. He says that the prayer of a righteous person availeth much, accomplishes much. So be a prayer warrior for the Lord. Young people, be a prayer warrior for the Lord. If you've given your life to the Lord, that's what you need to do. You need to do that. But there's another thing that we need to be doing, and that is exercising our faith. You know, the Bible tells us in Hebrews chapter 11 and verse 6 that without faith it is impossible to please God. Without faith it's impossible to please God. So we all need to have faith. Think about Daniel. Now, Daniel, he was a man of prayer. And the king, he didn't want him to pray anymore. He made a decree that anybody who prayed to Jehovah God, they would be thrown into the den of lions. Okay? That's what happened to Daniel. Well, now let me tell you something. There's a difference between a lion's den and a den of lions. In a lion's den, there may or may not be lions there. But the one that Daniel was thrown into, there were lions there and they were hungry. But God gave them lockjaw, or he killed their hunger or whatever. Amen. And Daniel was protected. What about Shadrach, Meshach, and Abednego? They were thrown into the fiery furnace, heated seven times hotter than normal. Why? Because they refused to bow down and worship an idol that had been set up. There are a lot of idols that we idolize today. It may be a person. It may be a movie star. It may be a house or something that we own or something that God has given to us. We got our mind off of God and begin to worship that thing, you know. That's not what God wants us to do. We don't have anything that belongs to us personally. Everything belongs to God. And we need to be reminded of that. Now, so we need to exercise our faith. And then we need to exercise doing good. The Bible tells us in Galatians chapter 6 and verse 10 that in the times that we live in, that we are to do good as to all men. Especially, now when I use the word men there, that is a generic term which includes women and men, children and all. You see. Now, we're to do good to all people. But in verse 10 of Galatians 6, it says, especially to those of the household of faith. Amen? To God's people. You and I are to do good to everybody we have an opportunity, especially to those of God's people who have a need. How do you respond to those? We need to respond in a positive way. In Ephesians chapter 4 and verse 32, the Bible also tells us this, that we're to be forgiving one to the other. Forgive others as they forgive you. Let me see. Let me go back here. That one's one that just slipped my mind to. I have that problem just like everybody else. Now in verse 32 it says, and be kind one to the other, tender-hearted, forgiving one another, even as God, for Christ's sake, has forgiven you. Amen. And be encouragers. So, I've just shared with you a little bit of the things that go on in times that we're living in. Living in times like these. Now, those things are going to go on. So, we need not to panic when things happen. Trust the Lord. Remember whose we are, who we belong to. Remember that God is in control. He's not going to let anything happen to us that doesn't pass through His approval. You read the book of Job and it'll tell you that very thing. And then remember to trust the Lord and wait on Him. While you're trusting, while we're trusting and waiting on Him, be in the Bible. Be in prayer. Exercise your faith. Do good. Help others. Now, as we come to the conclusion, there may be someone here today that you've kind of drifted away from the Lord. I don't know what your life is like. Don't know the circumstances of your life. But I know somebody that does. You do. And God does. And if you're having a difficulty in your life, then I encourage you to come to the Lord. He's all-knowing. He's all-present. And He's all-powerful. He can do for you that you can't do for yourself. Amen.